Please open your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy. If you have your Bibles, open up to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to share with you verses 1 through 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 1 through 7. God's Word says this. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach each other. You there must also endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You see, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, God, today, Lord, for the amazing blessings you do give us, Lord. God, without your blessings on America, we'd hate to see where it would be today. Lord, we thank you for the men and women that are serving all over the world to protect our nation that we love so dear. We thank you, God, for bringing us here, Lord, whether it be by natural citizenship, whether it be coming over from other countries, Lord. America's a melting pot, Lord. And I thank you, God, for blessing all the people that live in it, Lord. God, I praise you, Lord, today for letting us be here, for being part of this country. And I pray, God, that you help us to be thankful, not just for our veterans and their service, but also for the Christian soldiers that are behind the seats praying, for those that are out in the field, for the families that are here behind, to clean up the messes that are gone and left when the veterans have to leave the country. God, I pray that you continue, Lord, to help America be great. And God, I know if we keep you first, America will be a blessed country as your word promises. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Today is Veterans Day. What a blessing. No, Veterans Day doesn't often fall on a Sunday, and so what an honor. It really is. I was thinking myself when I came in to church today as I was driving in. I'm a veteran. I get to preach in the town that helped to create Veterans Day. And it's on the Lord's Day, which is a Sunday. Amen. What an honor. I mean, what an honor. Yeah. What a blessing. Yeah. We have a lot of soldiers that are deployed. Has anybody ever been deployed before? Know what that feels like? A soldier being deployed away from your home. That's tough, isn't it? We've got a lot of people that are deployed today. We have some that are presently serving today all over. And we have lots who have served or have been retired. And it is a blessing to be able to lift these people up in prayer. You know, I often wondered, how big of a part did Emporia really have in making Veterans Day Veterans Day? I wonder, how big of a part was that? And so I did some research that I wanted to share with you. And keep in mind, I'm an outsider. I didn't live in Emporia all my life. And so I don't know all the stories and things that go with it. But here's what I found. And boy, was it impressing to me. The beginning of celebrating and honoring our military began with President Woodrow Wilson. He first proclaimed Armistice Day for November 11, 1919. And in proclaiming the holiday, he said this: "To us in America, the reflections of Armistice Day will be filled with solemn pride and the heroism of those who died in this country's service, and with gratitude for the victory, both because of the thing from which it has freed us and because of the opportunity it has given America to show her sympathy with peace and justice in the councils of the nations." And so Armistice Day kind of started then. However, it wasn't until an act was approved by Congress through President Calvin Coolidge many years later on May 13th of 1938 that officially made the 11th of November every year a legal holiday. And while this was great, Armistice Day was a blessing, it really was only created to appreciate those who served in World War I. And so while that was nice, in 1953, there was a man in Emporia, Kansas, a shoe store owner. His name was Alfred King. And he had the idea to expand Armistice Day to celebrate all veterans, not just those who served in World War I. King became a campaign to turn Armistice Day into something called All Veterans Day. The Emporia Chamber of Commerce took up the cause after determining that 90% of Emporia merchants, as well as the Board of Education, supported closing their doors on November 11th to honor all veterans. Then with the help, and there's pictures online you can see of this, of U.S. Representative Ed Reese, also from Emporia, a bill from the holiday was pushed through Congress. President Dwight Eisenhower signed it into law on May 26th of 1954. And just a few days later, Congress amended the act on June 1st of 1954, replacing Armistice with Veterans, and it had been known as Veterans Day ever since. Isn't that a beautiful story? You see, many times we think one person can't make a difference. But this one person did. A big difference that's now celebrated all over the United States. Because this shoe store owner spoke up and said, you know what, not just veterans of World War I, but all veterans should be honored. What a blessing. What an absolute blessing. I praise the Lord for all the men and women that have served our country. All the veterans, I agree with that man, should be honored for their dedication to our country. Unless you've been in the service or you've had a family member that's close by you in the service, you might not understand how hard it really is to be deployed, to be away from your family. You might not really understand some of the hardships that they've endured. It's easy to look at the news and see, oh, there's another rogue military soldier shooting people up in a bar or in a hotel or somewhere else. And really, it's sad. It's really sad because not only the people pass away, but also that was once a person who protected the country instead of injured the country. Our soldiers need prayers today, folks. They need prayers. Being a soldier and serving this great nation is an honor. And it's one thing personally that I will hold valuable till the day that I die. I come from a long line of veterans. You might not know that, but my great-grandfather, he served in the Army. My grandfather Barris, he served in the Navy. My uncle Alex served in the Marines. My daughter Faith served in the Army. And I also served in the Army in the 1st Cavalry Division, 3rd Battalion, 8th Cavalry Regiment. And it was a blessing. I was an M1A1 Abrams tanker. My job was to take the tank down the battlefield, to drive it, to load it. And I did get to shoot it on occasion. But those of you that know me closely know I love to drive. And I've driven a lot of fast, amazing machines, but there's nothing that compares to a 70-ton tank with 1,500 horsepower. Now that's fun. You could drive through buildings, trees, anything you can imagine. In a lot of ways, the military is really good to me. I met the woman of my dreams. I met my wife on a blind date. Had it not been for the military, I may have never met her. I won several awards, like this one right here, amongst others, Army Commendation Medals and all that other kind of stuff. But this is one that I was proud of. We were in gunnery, and there was 53 tanks from each battalion. And we won as the top tank, not only in score, but performance over every single tank in the 1st Cavalry Division in Fort Hood, Texas. Back in 1994. Pretty cool. No, I was proud of that. Thanks. I was proud of that. But most of all, when I was serving our country, I was met by a Gideon man who introduced me to who Jesus really was. I've been to church before. My grandparents had taken me to a Catholic church, and I went through catechism and CCD and confirmation and all those things, but I never knew Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And so I went to this chapel, and there was a little Gideon man, and he was handing out New Testaments. I have my Catholic Bible with me. I said, oh, I already got a Bible. I'm good. He said, yeah, you even got extra books in yours. I'm like, yeah, I'm prepared. But he said, have you ever been lonely? Do you miss being at home? Do you think things are hard? Have you ever been sad? Yeah. He said, well, look here in the beginning of this Bible. There's some scriptures that show you if you're sad, if you're lonely. You can look those up. I said, oh, man, I need that. I grabbed it. I went back to my barracks. I started reading chapter Matthew, chapter 5. I was reading about the Sermon on the Mount. I was reading about Jesus was feeding the people with the fish and the bread. And I got down on my knees in front of 80 sets of bunk beds, lots of soldiers, and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. So I got to tell you, the military's been good to me. But the military was also tough. It's not easy serving in the military. I was deployed 9 months out of the first year that Shannon and I were married. Several of those months, my wife was pregnant. And I couldn't be there because I was out serving in the country. Few people know what it's like to sign papers when you're 17 years old. That could be like signing your own death warrant.
Yes, sir.
Yep. And you know what makes it even harder is when you go through the same thing with somebody you love. And I had to do it for my daughter. Mm-hmm. It was tough. Many people don't know what it's like to leave your family and all that you know to endure some of the most difficult training in the world called basic training. Few people know what it's like to sleep in a squeaky bunk bed where men and women before you have laid and never returned home to their families. Most people don't know what it's like to get on a plane to give your wife a kiss. And at that time, my baby daughter, a hug, kiss her on the forehead, tell him you love him, and step on a plane to go overseas and not know if you're ever going to come home again. Being a soldier's tough. It's tough physically. It's tough mentally. It's tough spiritually. And so I applaud our soldiers because I know what you've gone through in some ways. And I know it's tough. In America, they've done a good job sometimes. But they've treated our veterans in many different ways. Sometimes they've received them with accolades. They've accepted them. Put their hands together, met them at the airport, signed, just praised them. We're so happy they came home. Other times they've persecuted them and rejected them. It's a sad thing. But you know, regardless of the reception that our veterans received, they continued to do the job that they volunteered or were drafted to do. And today, that's why we honor them. To you, veterans, we owe a debt of gratitude because you were willing to go, you were willing to serve, and you were willing to give on the behalf of the United States of America. So God bless you. If you've served in our country, would you please stand so we can just look at you? One more time to give you a round of applause. Let's praise the Lord for these guys today, folks. Amen. The Bible says in Romans 13:7, it says, render to all what is due them, tax to whom is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. And I believe these people deserve some honor today. Amen. Let's give them another round of applause. Thank you, veterans, for serving our country. Thank you for their families standing behind them and supporting them. Praise the Lord. I want to show you a little video now that I think will bless you and bring back maybe some memories for you.
Yeah.
ground.
All right.
Memories. You know, often when we hear veteran, we think of a soldier. I mean, we think of a soldier. That's a great thing to think about because it's a great association to make, because there are veterans that are military soldiers, but then there are also veterans that are Christians, one that have fought the good fights as well, right? And so I believe there's a difference between the military veteran and the Christian veteran. And there's a difference between a military soldier and a Christian soldier. You see, a military soldier, they're trained to be able to go to war. They're set up to be able to go to battle. But sometimes they don't see battle. They're just prepared for battle. But as a Christian, you are always in battle, amen? As Christians, we fight all kinds of different battles. Whether we're fighting for righteousness, whether we're standing up for the truth, whether we're fighting against sickness or temptations or struggles or financial problems, we're always at war with the devil. And so right here in this room, I believe we have many veterans of the Christian faith. They've stood against the unseen enemy for years and years. They've protected us from the hand of enemy through prayers and encouragement. They've stood watch over the boundaries of the church. They've been vigilant and ready to go to battle. They are our prayer warriors, our intercessors, our Bible teachers, our true believers in Christ. They're the ones that live their lives and set an example for those younger in the faith. Those are our Christian warriors. So I believe our Christian soldiers and our military soldiers deserve another round of applause. Amen. You see, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, 4, God's word says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." And I can't think of a greater calling in our life than to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
You see, we're all called to be soldiers of Christ. So today I want to draw the parallel of how a U.S. military soldier serves versus how a Christian soldier serves in just a few short words. Right before me, you see what? Two flags, right? The American flag and the Christian flag. Both are great flags. Which one should fly higher in our lives? The Christian flag, yeah. And the second is American flag. Well, we're all Christian citizens first and then American citizens second. But you got to realize, to serve either one of these flags, you need a lot of different things in your life. To serve either one of these flags, a person has to meet certain requirements. Before you can become a veteran, first you have to be what? A good soldier. You can't become a veteran unless you've become a good soldier. So I want to look at five quick things about what it takes to be a good soldier. First, you have to volunteer to be a soldier. To serve either flag, we have to do so voluntarily. Now, back in the day, the army used to draft people. The military used to draft people. But today, they don't do that. Today, it's a volunteer effort. It's volunteer to be able to go and join. And also, what they do is they send out recruiters to come and talk to you. And they promise you the world, don't they? Anybody get that duty station they asked for? Yeah, it doesn't happen. So in order to be able to serve this flag, you have to volunteer. You have to want to go. And then they send recruiters to come after you. See, it's kind of similar in the Christian flag. Well, God wants you to serve him. Well, God wants you to come to him. Well, he wants you to know him as his Lord and Savior. You still have to volunteer. He doesn't make you. And you know what else is? He sends out recruiters too. That's what the Great Commission is all about. And Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." You see, just like we have to volunteer to serve this flag, we also have to volunteer to give our lives to Christ. And just like this flag, they send out recruiters to get you to come join. The same thing with Jesus Christ. He came himself to be able to encourage you to come because he loves you that much. And if you think about it, the benefits of serving him are literally out of this world, right? Because you have eternal life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The second thing I want to talk to you about today is faith. You have to have faith to follow either flag. If you're going to be in the military, you have to have faith that the American government is going to supply your every need.
That's a joke.
You got to have that kind of faith. They're going to give you a place to live. They're going to give you food. They're going to give you water and sometimes medical care. But what they also give you is they also give you a group of people to be with. Now, you could see that as a benefit or not, but you have to have faith to be able to serve that flag. You also have to have faith to be able to serve this flag. You've got to trust in the Lord. You've got to trust in Him to provide all your needs. Your food, your water, the things that you need. You've got to trust in the Lord to be able to provide you eternal life and salvation, right?
Yes.
In Matthew 6:31, it says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or whether where we shall be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." You know what? I can honestly say, Miss Alva, I wasn't worried about anything while I was in the military. I wasn't worried. If I had a place to sleep, great. I was young and not very smart, too. But if I had a place to sleep, great. They gave me food. Was it as good as mom's home cooking? Oh, absolutely not. But it kept me alive. And they gave me people to talk to. I had everything I needed. And you know what? I knew that next meal was going to come. And I knew I'd be able to sleep on the tank or sleep outside or sleep in a nice room. I knew those things were going to happen. Well, how come as a Christian, I can't serve this flag? And I can't say, Jesus, I really trust you with everything. I'm not going to worry about where my food's going to come from. I'm not going to worry about that little problem with my job. I'm not going to worry about that sickness problem or that other problem. Because I trust you, Jesus. Why can we trust this one and we have troubles trusting this one? You want to change your life and have ultimate freedom? Learn how to completely trust and have faith in God. The third thing we need to serve either flag is a commitment. If you're going to serve this flag, you make a commitment. And it's a scary one. You commit your life to 8 years. 8 years. Now, the number of active duty numbers may measure, maybe 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, who knows. But your initial commitment usually is 8 years of service to that flag. You have to make a commitment. And they swear you in.
Yeah, they do.
You go into this room with another soldier, captain usually, or somebody above a captain, and they have you stand at attention, salute, they have you raise your right hand, and then they have you say an oath. Maybe this will bring memories back to someone. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. And that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to regulations and uniform code of military justice. So help me God.
Yep.
That's what you swear in.
Yep.
Each military takes it even further. Each branch of the military. I don't know about all the other branches. I was in the Army. But in the Army, we have a creed. It's hung up in the wall of every auditorium. They make you chant it at all different kinds of times. They want it built into your mind that this is what you are going to do as a U.S. soldier of the Army. And it says this: I am an American soldier. I am a warrior and a member of a team. I serve the people of the United States, and I live the Army values. I will always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. I will never leave a fallen comrade. I am disciplined, physically and mentally tough, trained and proficient in my warrior tasks and skills. I always maintain my arms, my equipment, and myself. I am an expert and I am a professional. I will stand ready to deploy, engage, and destroy the enemies of the United States of America in close combat. I am a guardian of freedom and the American way of life. I am an American soldier.
Woo! I remember that quite well.
That's commitment.
Yeah, it is.
That's commitment. And you know, when you serve this Christian flag, the Lord calls you to be committed too. He doesn't call you to be wishy-washy. He says, there are no other gods before me. He wants you to serve Him. That's what He wants. John 14:21 says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will be loved by him, and manifest myself to him. Isaiah 1:29 or 1:20 says, if you'll be obedient and willing, you shall eat the good fruit of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It reminds me of what a guy named John Newton once said. Anybody know who John Newton is?
Isn't he a singer?
Oh, close. Close, yeah, John Newton. Does anybody know what hymn 230 is in your hymnal? Amazing Grace, yes, Amazing Grace. And you know, he said it like this. And what he was talking about is if more Christians could have this kind of commitment. He said, you know, if two angels in heaven were given assignments by God at the same time, one of them to go rule over a great land, and the other to sweep the streets of the dirtiest village, each angel would go do their task indifferently and not complain because they were thankful that God asked them to do something. It simply wouldn't matter which one got which job. They wouldn't complain, they would happily do it. For a Christ follower, the important thing isn't what God has us doing. The important thing that we're doing what God wants us to do. Some of us, it may be emptying a trash can. Others, it may be preaching the Word of God. Who knows what He sends us to do? But we should be thankful to be able to serve Him in any capacity. We need to be committed to the cause of Jesus Christ, which is to seek and to save those that are lost. The fifth and final attribute we need is devotion. Complete devotion. You see, if you serve this flag, you're expected to be devoted 100%. You know what happens if you're not devoted to serving that flag? You're considered a traitor. And to serve this flag, you need complete devotion too. And what is Satan's biggest enemy? Pulling you away from being devoted, right?
Yes.
His biggest enemy is distraction. And so complete devotion is needed to serve either one of these. If you're going to be completely devoted to Christ and His kingdom, that means you need to take serious what's in this Word of God. You don't read this like a storybook, but as you look at this and you hear these verses, you allow them to change your life. When it says you need to forgive people the same way you want your Father to forgive you, you need to do it. When it says that we need to give grace to one another, we need to do it. When it says you need to love one another as you love yourself or love your neighbor as you love yourself, we got to do that. We want the name Christian, but I question today, how Christ-like are we? Devotion. Romans 12:1-2 says this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Christ deserves our complete devotion. You know, there's a missionary in Africa. I've read this before, but it's so powerful. Got to share it again. Missionary in Africa who was killed for his belief in Christ. He was in Zimbabwe, and when they were going through his things, they had said, they found this letter. This is the type of devotion I'm talking about. Here's what it says. I'm part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line, and the decision has been made. I am a disciple of Christ, and I won't look back. I won't let up. I won't slow down. I won't back away, and I won't be still. My past is redeemed, and my future makes sense. I'm done, and I'm finished with low living,
sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, and colorless dreams. I'm done with tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right. I don't have to be first, tops, or recognized, or praised, or rewarded. I live by faith. I lean on His presence. I walk by patience, lifted up by prayer and labor, by the power of the Holy Spirit. My face is set, my gate is fast, and my goal is heaven. My road may be narrow, my way may be rough, and my companions may be few, but my guide is reliable and my mission is clear. I will not be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate in the presence of the adversary. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy. I will not ponder at the pool of popularity or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up. I won't shut up or let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must give until I drop, preach until all I know, and work until He comes. And when He does come for His own, He'll have no problems recognizing me because my colors will be clear. What a powerful message.
Amen.
That's a missionary who died for his faith. Somebody who is willing to sacrifice his life to live for Christ. Not somebody who just wore cute jewelry and said they were a Christian. Somebody who really did live for Christ. It'd be good for you or I to look that up, print that out, put it on our bathroom mirror and read that once in a while to help us be rededicated to the cause. You know, this morning, I asked who our military soldiers were. And they came, they did the mission march, and they stood, and they were applauded. But now I wonder, who in the congregation here today is a Christian soldier? Who's willing to stand up for what they believe? So if you're a Christian soldier, I ask you to please stand at this time. The United States of America needs your help. Your family needs your help. The community needs your help. Will you really be a soldier for the Lord? Will you first volunteer to faithfully serve God? Will you second have complete faith in God and trust Him with your life both here and eternally to supply all your needs? Will you third make or renew your commitment to Christ, to live for Him, to follow His example? And will you fourth be obedient to His word and His calling into your life? And fifth, finally, will you promise to completely be devoted to Jesus and the cause of seeking the lost? Soldiers, you, through the power of Jesus Christ, are the ones that can change this world. You. What will you do? Will you serve? Or will you stand idly by and watch America continue to fall? Let's bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You today, God. Lord, with hearts that rejoice for all the men and women that have served in our military to protect our freedoms. And God, we rejoice for all of our men and our women who stand for You, Christ, and want to be a soldier. But God, we live in a world that's hurting. There's shootings in places, even in churches now, Lord. Babies are dying. For no reason at all. What has our country come to? Lord, the military does a great job protecting our outside enemies. But we need Christian soldiers inside the country to stand up for morality and what's right, Jesus. If there's any Christian soldiers or military soldiers in here that want to come pray at the altar, you're welcome to come and pray. I pray that people will come and they'll lift up our nation in prayer. I pray that people will come and lift up our nation's leaders and our politicians and the people who are writing and passing these laws in America that are changing the world we live in. I pray that people will lift up our veterans and the family members of these veterans. I pray that people will come lift up their loved ones that aren't saved, that don't know Jesus. I pray that people would come, and I pray that they would pray to you, Lord, the one that can do something about everything in the world. And I pray if there's somebody here today that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they would come and they would enlist today so they could have eternal life and know what it's like to have a relationship with the only one who will love us unconditionally, forgive us unconditionally, and promises never to leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Lord, for Christian veterans. Thank you, Lord, for military veterans. Lord, please bless our country. Please help all of us to turn back to you today, God. This is a big world, but you've trusted us with it, Lord. Help us to make a difference for you, Jesus. We love you and we thank you. For it's in your name we pray, Lord. Amen. As Christians are praying, we're going to sing a verse of invitation, hymn 275, Just As I Am.
Just as I am.